Parshas Va'era, it says Vayishlach Pare Vayikra L'Moshe L'Harin. Pare sent and called to Moshe Harin. Vayoyma Aleihem, and he told them, Chatasi, I have sinned, Hapam, this time. Hashem HaTzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzadik, is righteous. Vaniva Ami Yarashoyim, and me and my people are wicked. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel of Slobodka notes that although Pare verbally admitted that he was guilty when he was under the pressure of the plague, he reverted back to his old ways as soon as the pressure was off, because he viewed suffering with a limited perspective. He felt it was just a punishment for wrong. That's why he said Hashem was the righteous judge. The punishment was fear, because I have done wrong. But the reality is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he brings suffering on a person, there's a strong element behind that of kindness. Why? Because suffering is really a message Hashem is telling you that you need something to improve. It's a reminder. I care about you. You're important. And therefore, I want you to improve. That's the message. It always has that message. The goal of suffering is to motivate a person to improve his behavior. And because Pare viewed suffering only as a punishment, so as soon as the punishment was over, he didn't make any changes. So here is a Musa Haskell, that when someone goes through a difficult time, that he should view that difficulty as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of love, trying to give him a message, trying to show him something that he needs to elevate himself. And that is, to introspection, to how to correct something. One thing important I'd like to add to this, that a person needs to know, that in it could be with some tzaddikim, or in earlier generations, sometimes there was a mida keneged mida type of thing. Like, for example, you have a big tzaddik that tripped on the stairs and fell a little bit, or fell on the floor. And one time he was just sitting there, he didn't get up, even though they were trying to help him. And he explained that, as soon as this happened, I realized it came in Hashemayim, and I'm trying to think about what exactly was what I did wrong why this happened, so I can make a cheshbon and nefesh and correct it. That's the right approach. Now, sometimes in the olden days, if you hurt, someone hurt their hand, that means maybe they need to chew tshuva with something in their hand. Something that with the foot, they have to do tshuva with something in their foot. The issue, though, these days are, because there's more of a hester panim, and it's not so clear sometimes to make a correlation of exactly the suffering versus the thing that you did wrong. It's hard for people to connect the dots. So therefore, it's important to make an overall cheshbon nefesh. So I get an example was, I remember many years ago, I broke my ankle and needed surgery and therapy, and it was a long haul till I was able to walk normally again. And, right after it happened, the same thing. I was thinking now with tzaddikim, they have this idea of they're trying to figure out what was the wrong thing. By me, I basically told the Rabbi Shloilem, I know I have a laundry list of many, many things that I know I need to correct. When I made the cheshbon nefesh, I saw, I'm not sure exactly why this happened, because I couldn't find out the particular thing, because I'm not a Novi, I'm not on the Madrega of these tzaddikim that could know. Maybe it is connected to my ankle or my foot to learn to walk more, to do mitzvahs, or maybe I did something wrong when I went somewhere I shouldn't have gone. I did think of those things, but it could have been other things too. So I asked the Rabbi Nishlein to help me, that put in my mind whatever, I know there's things that I need to correct, what do I need to correct? So with everyone, the same idea. Sometimes you could see a direct correlation. Something happens, and then you realize right away, and sometimes that does happen, even with us, when Hashem is directly relating to us, especially if we talk to Him a lot, He'll sometimes respond in a way where you do get the message right away, and it's clear, it's Hashgacha Pratis, that this is happening because Hashem is trying to tell you that specific message. That happens sometimes, but even in life, when something happens, and you can't always figure out why directly, the reason, then you make an overall cheshbon nefesh, and you tell the Rabbi Yishloilem, I know nothing is b'mikra, meaning everything is hashkacha pratis. This thing or this difficulty is because you're trying to teach me something, and please show me the way and explain to me, what I need to improve. And you make a cheshbon nefesh, but always remember, it's not a spiteful punishment type of thing. It's always to teach and to elevate, and Hashem has nachas ruach when he's able to move it away from those yisurim and take it away. You see in Navi that Hashem is upset sometimes where they don't get the message, and he has to bring on something harsher. And in Navi, I don't have the psukim right on my fingertips, but it's clear Hashem is getting frustrated. Why are you not turning to me and learning my ways that I'm forced to throw more difficulty at you, which is something he doesn't want to do, be'etzem. So that is also Musa Haskell, that when something difficult comes, to learn from it, make a cheshbon nefesh, and to improve. Now, it's brought down going to the Panini Malatari has an interesting insight that when Moshe Rabbeinu davened that the frogs, the tzvardim, should be removed and the makkah should end, Hashem listened immediately to Moshe's tefillah at the time that was designated, and the frogs returned to the river where they belonged, and that was that. However, you see in Parshas Chukas, Moshe also davened to Hashem when they were biting, the snakes came and injured and killed a lot of people, and his prayer was not as effective. It only worked after Hashem told Moshe, make that fiery snake out of copper, place it on a pole. Everyone that's bitten by the fiery snake should look at it. And Chazal asks, in Rosh Hashanah Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, does a nachash cause life and death? No, they looked upward and they were machnia their hearts to their Avinu Shebashmayim to do tshuva, and they were healed. And if not, they died. The Chazal was trying to explain that it's not that the fiery serpent had magical powers or anything like that, or even Kedushadika powers. No, it's Hashem made it that when you looked at it and you thought of that sin and you did tshuva in your heart, it helped. So the Chafetz Chaim asks, why over here, when by Paroi with the Tzvardim, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked to remove it, it was removed right away. However, over there, when they were dying from those fiery snake bites, his tefillah, he davened, must have davened just as hard. It was for his own brothers, even more hard, because it was for his own, the B'nai Yisrael, and nevertheless, it didn't work. So he explains it with a mushal. He says every chait has an anecdote, but except for Lashon Hara. Why? Because Lashon Hara has this unique power, unfortunately, that there's a mekatrik, there's a prosecuting angel that's created by the Lashon Hara that's not easily removed. It prosecutes and finds fault in the individual who said this Lashon Hara. And therefore, it was much harder to remove it through tefillah alone. And one needed those fiery serpents in order to get them to hear tshuva. And Moshe, even his own tefillah was ineffective. So therefore, it shows how careful you have to be with Lashon Hara and how much tshuva introspection, that's really the only way to really break that kitrig, is to daven to Hashem for mechila on it, try to be misakin as much as possible, the Bein Adam L'Chaveira, regarding that Lashon Hara, make a decision not to do it again, and that's how you get rid of it. Brings down a beautiful maisa. It's kedai to say this over from Yitzchak Zilberstein, that he visited his brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and during that visit, the Rebbetzin came home from a chasana, and she was so excited about the chasana. And he said that the chasana was mamash hashkacha pratis of a nes min hashamayim, because it's a wedding that should not have been, and due to special schusim, it took place. And here's the story. 4 years before this, the kala was 15 years old. She had got into she was in a terrible car accident, left her critically injured, and she was in a coma. She fell into a coma, and she lied in the hospital bed, and for full 2 weeks she was in a coma. The parents went to Chaim Kanievsky and his Rebbetzin, asking them to daven for their daughter who was in the coma, and Hashem listened to the bakoshes. The daughter woke up. As soon as she was able to speak, this is what she said. Her first words. She asks, Ima, how long have I been in a coma? And her mother says, it's not important. And for what reason do you need to know how long you're in a coma? And the teenager's response is a big pachat for us. This is what she said. She said, a month ago, before the accident, I was mekabel on myself to learn 2 halachas a day from the Sefer Chafetz Chaim about Hilchas Lashon Hara every day. And I didn't miss any day until this accident. So I need to know how long I was in a coma so that I could study the two halachas for each day since I was in a coma. Imagine this being the first question she asked her mother. That was the main thing on her mind after everything. What happened, how I'm feeling, or what's going to happen to me? Nothing. That was the first thing that came to her mind. I had made a hachlota to learn two halachas of Chafetz Chaim, of Hilchas Lashon Hara, and I was in a coma, so I'm behind in that obligation. Tell me how long I was in a coma so I could catch up and do per day the two halachas to catch up. That was what was on her mind. When this story was related to Chaim Kanievsky and the Rebbetzin, they both were very emotional about it, and Rebbetzin Kanievsky visited the parents, promised them that she would dance by their daughter's chasana. At that time, the assurance of being by her daughter's chasana was far-fetched. She was 15 years old when she was in this accident. She was in a coma. She was in the mend. She needed many, many surgeries and therapy, and her body would still be not fully, you know, to herself. And in Shidduchim, you know how it goes, that sometimes it's difficult to get Shidduchim in such cases. And, you know, to marry a girl that had gone through so much and maybe still suffering some physical ailments from it. But the Nace, not only did she survive all her surgeries, and she came through, and she got, Baruch Hashem, healthy. And the people couldn't believe it was the same girl that was in such a horrific car accident, not only survived, but thrived. And she got married to a wonderful Talmud Chacham from a wonderful Mishpacha. And this is the wedding Rebbetzin Kanievsky attended, and she kept her word as she danced with the Kala. You see from here, a Peladika recovery was, of course, maybe in the tefillis, of course, of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, but he felt clearly that a lot of it was the Kabbalah, the quick recovery that she had in the Schustim. She made a Kabbalah to learn the halachas of Lashon Hara daily, and that was a tremendous kayach that created that Schust. I think it's kedai to repeat this story, and it's a beautiful story. Bracha and Hatzlacha.